Johnson Makubu, Deputy Commissioner at the South African Revenue Service, has sounded the alarm over a staggering 513 billion rand in unpaid taxes owed to the fiscus. It's a figure revealed at the 12th annual tax indaba, and it raises critical concerns about fiscal health and recovery strategies. Importantly, SARS is leveraging AI, data analytics and new VAT measures on low-value e-commerce imports to bridge a revised 1.986 trillion rand revenue target for 25-26. So I want to dig into what this means for taxpayers as well as South Africa's financial resilience. Deputy Commissioner, a very warm welcome to you. 513 billion rand, it's a lot of money. How does it compare to previous years and what is driving its rapid escalation?
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for having us. Let me say it has grown from prior years. That amount is the amount that we opened up the financial year with, i.e. 1st of April. It had grown from around 415 billion, which was the closing balance in the prior year. Largely, it's driven by two products. It's VAT and pay-as-you-earn, which you would appreciate. They are trust monies, meaning monies that pay-as-you-earn is held and collected by employers on behalf of the tax administration. But also there is VAT that also is number two in terms of the outstanding debt that we see in our books. I have to say that that obviously with any debt, it is constituted by capital amounts as well as interest and penalties. And being a tax administration, we do levy quite hefty penalties where we suspect that there is fraud or gross under declaration.
So what's the plan to plug the VAT gap?
So essentially, I mean, if we talk from a debt point of view, we will follow the normal collection strategies in terms of recovering the debt that is owed to us in terms of VAT. What we've done is we've taken a multi-pronged approach. One, we have decided to bring about 15 external debt collectors. So we've outsourced a portion of this where we believe that the debt is potentially complex and aged. Our theory is that when it becomes quite aged, it's difficult to collect. So we've brought in outsourced entities to help us collect that particular debt. We think that that is a last step that we need to consider before we can decide whether we want to make provisions for doubtful or bad debts. We've also leveraged the additional funding that the minister gave us to bring in additional resources to focus on this debt, not only VAT, but also pay-as-you-earn as a key focus area. So we're of the view that the additional resources will assist us. But Jeremy, what we are finding generally is that this debt is no longer as easy to collect. So we need to move up the compliance or the enforcement value chain in terms of moving just beyond doing third-party appointments, but actually seeking civil judgments as well as writs of executions where possible, especially where the behavior of the taxpayers is not as cooperative as we would want them to, where we're not sensing cooperation, would want to intensify the instruments that we have in law to ensure that we collect those outstanding amounts.
So that's a new strategy then, as far as SARS is concerned, is that you're going to intensify legal action. Am I hearing you correctly?
Indeed. So we do understand that there are those taxpayers that will still, you know, come to us and say, look, can I get into a compromise in line with Section 200 of the Tax Administration Act, which we are allowed to entertain? Others will come and say, look, my business is going through challenges. Can I get into deferral of payment arrangements? Again, we are open to those, having assessed the financial standing of a taxpayer to make sure that indeed their circumstances are such that we can enter into deferred arrangements in terms of the payments. But we are also finding that there are taxpayers that that ignore us, and there are those that just blatantly are not complying. In there, we will then intensify our legal enforcement.
If tax debt is a balance sheet, and I think you've described it as such, from a governance standpoint, at what point do you start to write off debt to balance realism with genuine recovery?
Sure. So the Tax Administration Act does make provisions under what circumstances you should be able to either temporarily write off debt or permanently write off debt. And one of the things that is a guiding principle is whether that debt is economical to pursue. There are instances where it just becomes the rent you spend pursuing the debt is far greater than the debt you are pursuing. And under those circumstances, there's governance committees within the tax administration that guide us in terms of whether we can write that debt off. It's quite stringent. You would see that probably last year we wrote off about 36 billion rands of debt. And that those are instances where we had felt that either, Jeremy, we were late to the party and a company was liquidated, or an estate was liquidated, an L&D account was offered, that institution or that entity under those circumstances actually doesn't legally exist. Mm. So it becomes quite difficult to pursue that debt amongst, I'm just painting one category where we would say, here we need to write this off. In some instances, it's entities that were set up to defraud the fiscus. In those instances, we would go for the personal liabilities of the directors. And if those directors are either deceased or have fled the country, we would consider writing it off temporarily. And when there's activity in terms of movement in and out of the country, we would start to then say, maybe it's time we reactivate that. We would report then on debt that is recovered from previous write-offs, as any other corporate would do in that regard. But we've got a very stringent governance process where if any of our debt is considered for write-off, it goes through that process, and the AG and the Ministry of Finance must be notified on an annual basis of any write-offs that the commissioner would have done, including compromises of debt that he would have entered into.
But such a path also does carry inherent risk, I imagine. So if substantial write-offs were to become necessary, the difficulty is to balance, I guess, fiscal prudence with fairness and the risk of encouraging further defaults from people who might see this as an open season.
Indeed. I think when we consider potential write-offs, we are very clear that we are not driving behavior that that may lead to deterioration in compliance levels within the environment. And that's why we generally would like to make sure that we have relied on the provisions of the law. And in some instances, Jeremy and your listeners, I must say that there are cases that are well made by colleagues that the committees believe that, you know what, before we can write this off, we actually insist that the civil judgments and writs of executions are pursued against the directors. But again, that talks to piercing the corporate veil. And sometimes it means that the debt will stay longer in our books whilst we pursue that. Unfortunately, some of the non-compliant taxpayers would really delay the process. Stalingrad techniques and tactics will be followed. Which means, again, you've got a debt book that is aging whilst we pursue those. So I think from a prudence point of view, we've always insisted that at a minimum, we want the directors that perpetrated that debt against the fiscus to be personally held liable, which again becomes a legal challenge, because they would stand up and they would utilize whatever resource they have to resist.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Johnston Makubu, Deputy Commissioner at the South African Revenue Service.